But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, hopefully he can work it out.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a valuable player for us.
Thursday nights at Winco.
There we go. I know, don't think
he can cater it, sure.
You know, I mean, it's just a weird dinner.
Good stuff.
So if they do that kind of volume, then I think they could survive into the Albertsons shopping center.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. Is that ever being recorded?
Yes.
A mini Winco.
Well, that's exactly what's being built in Kaiser.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. A Winco?
It's a Winco in the old Albertsons, but it's called a Wehrmart. Remember when they used to be called Wehrmart?
No,
that's the
I
same
don't.
Company.
Oh, it
I
is?
Don't.
Yeah, it's the same company as
the
old Wehrmart.
Don't remember
Wehrmart
that.
Is a mini Winco. And uh-huh. So it doesn't have the big deli and one other. I think it doesn't have as much of the bulk food, but otherwise it's all the same. So that's who bought several of the old Albertsons were bought by Winco to do these kind of stores. So my store in Kaiser will Everybody open up a as a Winco this. Here in August.
It should we're be excited. It should be called a West Linco.
West Linco. I like that.
Troy can start a new thing.
Yep.
Each little town can have their own
have
little
a pen like this.
Co.
Yonka.
All
right, guys.
I'm not sure they just
I think we definitely
yeah, I think I got this free in the mail. I think
that's under something. They write beautifully.
Out for a couple weeks, is he not?
I don't know. He didn't.
I thought we saw something on here about Kazi being ill or out for the 11th or something.
No, I didn't know.
In the minutes? I don't know.
He had been ill
or maybe it was in the email. Oh, here it is. Other Kazi Ahmed will be unavailable June 10th to July 11th.
Oh, yeah, he was going out of town.
That's because you asked us to reply. I'll be there on all of them.
Honestly.
Just check me now. I'll email you right now. Are you recording us now?
Yes.
John?
Yes, ma'am.
So, all right.
Straight now.
You better hope there's not tapes of this.
Yeah, exactly right. Lordy, I hope there's tapes.
Yeah. I'm Gail Holmes. I'm the vice chair, and I'm chairing tonight. Troy Wolf could not be with us.
John Morgan.
Rachel Vadine.
Shannon Knight.
Bev Burke.
Richard Sackle, Sacklick City Council.
Mm-hmm. And do we need to review the agenda? So has everybody looked at it? And then is it pleasing to everybody's eyes?
The only thing that's interesting to me about the agenda, you want one?
Yeah. Well, I got the meeting minutes.
And do you need one too?
That's the agenda.
Oh, it says no.
The only thing that's interesting to me about the agenda is that the agenda doesn't particularly seem to me to be following some of the minute stuff, but, like, for instance, it's talking about second discussion on business license database and, you know, are we going to continue to follow that? Would it not be on this agenda?
Could have been old business. Probably want to look at your minutes first.
Yeah.
So I wasn't here at the last meeting. I went through the minutes. I extracted the agenda items I thought were there, went to Troy, sent out to all of you, say if you want anything else, let me know. I didn't hear from anybody, hence this is it.
Yeah, it's better.
So, and that's fine. I mean, you can amend the agenda. That's fine. Yeah.
So, and our item 3, old business.
I guess, I would put on there, I'd like to know about this business license database. And then there's a couple other items, the paragraphs underneath them, when you get to it, or anybody gets to it, I'm looking at the minutes. Boyle will talk to John Williams involving EDC members in discussion of new software. Is there an action item? There's none here. Third discussion on neighborhood association web pages. There's a paragraph of information. Is there an action item? Are we following up on these things, or are they just kind of going off?
That was more like a Shane report to come back to us and to update us on.
Yeah, in fact, Shane is going to do that probably on your September agenda, because by then you'll have a bunch of this stuff put together.
Can I suggest we make that an action item on the minutes so we have a way to track it more easily and be able to find it so that be an action item? I guess that would be under the third discussion paragraph. That we add an action item. And I would actually like to see an action item under Boyle. We'll talk to John Williams involving EDC members. Action item, is Boyle coming back to talk to us? Is John Williams coming to talk to us? What's going to happen there? And then I definitely would like to hear what happens with the business license database and really the website design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what, I didn't get a real sense other than everybody's busy at the last meeting, so I don't know what's a reasonable period of time. I don't know if we want to discuss it, to ask these gentlemen back.
Let's first look at the minutes. Okay. I'm changing, I'm not the minutes, but if we're going to review the agenda, I've added a few things in the old business that you suggested.
Okay.
So otherwise, I think that the agenda is fine. So let's move over to the approval of minutes. Now, I did notice that we don't have Shannon on here, and you were here.
I was here.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote Shannon Knight on my copy for present.
One small thing, my name is misspelled.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's just A-E-L at the end, R-A-C-H-A-E-L.
A-E-L.
And your last name is spelled correctly?
Vadine, yeah, thank you.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it, Vadine?
I always say Vidin.
I know, everyone, Le Vidin.
I
know, I'll go by anything, it's fine.
Okay, and were there other items? I didn't notice any, but...
No.
Okay, then we need to entertain a motion.
Go ahead.
I move that we approve the minutes as is.
As corrected.
As corrected, sorry.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor? That was Jennifer and that was Shannon. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right, so let's move on to the old business. The Business Summit Subcommittee Report. John, do you have anything on that? Or
nope.
We want to just table that then?
But I wasn't the subcommittee.
Oh,
so we talked about that, though. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. So we, knowing all of the problems that we already have with people getting business licenses and all of the hoops they have to go through, the zoning and all of that, we don't want to look like fools going to real estate agents and brokers and asking them as to why we can't fill spaces or businesses don't want to come to West Lynn. We know that rents are high, we know that type of thing, but we also have anecdotal knowledge of businesses that have wanted to come here but have opted to go elsewhere due to the fact of zoning issues and having to go through a lot of red tape here at City Hall. So we wanted to have a discussion with planning and find out how we can look at some of our zoning issues and some of our codes and try to refine those and get those changed so that we can attract new business here and make it easier for them to get here.
And I think some of, there's probably more problems with the code issue than it is the zoning, but the zoning, it needs to be looked at too.
So, I don't know if that means having two subcommittees and then we both report out to each other, or if we actually need to have full vetting with both committees.
Now, CCI did address some of the code issues, and then it went to Planning Commission, and that got passed, and then to City Council. So there has been some changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like in the Willamette area with the manufacturing.
Only for the restaurant, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only for... The code doesn't just apply to one business. The code applies to anything in that range of something. So I'm just saying that we did have some changes, so we need to be addressing that when we're talking about it.
Yeah,
we
but the manufacturing didn't get changed, other than the for the cidery, which is the restaurant only. So restaurant manufacturing, so a bakery or a cidery or anything like that can go in where it used to be considered manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then we still wanted to look at, like you made the comment about if there was a glass blowing company that wanted
to... Yeah, that part hasn't been changed.
Yeah, so that's something that... our code is just so limiting, and there's a lot of great opportunities for business that we couldn't even allow them
right.
to come without a variance.
It's been ages since I've looked at the code, and I would have to admit that I've never looked at it like page by page and started looking. I mean, but if we want to do that type of thing, and same thing with zoning, I mean, I think I'd like to see it stuck up here so we can look and see what the enormity of it is and then decide if we're going to undertake it. And I think subcommittees are probably a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I see
the dialogue. You look so puzzled.
There's probably only need one committee, just a thought. And it seems, what's the action item here? Is it to have John Williams and John Boyd? Or so the action item is a subcommittee to meet with the planning staff, do you think?
Oh, that was the first thing that you spoke about. Now I brought up the idea of, I don't really know what zoning or code is. I don't know the current issues. I wouldn't know how to speak to it without reviewing it.
Yeah, so that's what I think. You probably want to have someone from the planning staff here, and you express your concerns, and they could tell you what's being done or not being done.
And then you had another feeling about having planning staff to really talk about, was it really, I think, code again, about business interests and code.
Well, yeah, but, I think that both parties need to try to move things along and get that moving so that we can actually implement a plan to attract new business.
That's the whole crux of why we want the EDC to come to a work session.
Yeah, it's all
got to
go
17th.
Through. Yeah,
right.
Through council, too, before we can do it really.
Because we want to do those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we'd like you folks to tell us. You know, like we know that July 17th is currently the schedule.
How can we go if we have nothing to talk about?
Right, we have to have a review of stuff first.
Well,
I've done a lot of it.
But you're not the committee, so
I have a lot of work done that we could work off of.
Okay, so you either please, let us all know what it is, or
Yeah, I brought it last time. I brought it. To show you guys that the zoning, I can pull it up on my phone, but basically the mixed use zone, for Willamette and I'm sure it's probably like that for other parts of the city, basically allows nothing. So a mixed use zone right now in Westland, the only thing you can do is like a nursery or daycare. That's the only business you can have without going through a $20,000 conditional use permit process.
That's crazy.
So
see, it's not just zoning and all that. There's
these codes.
It is zoning. I mean, zoning is two things. One, it's the use, and mm-hmm. two is the maps. So that's what you're thinking?
Mm-hmm.
They all go together.
I just want to have a cohesive
plan. Oh, yeah, no, that's the streetscape. So I had another one. I don't think I had many.
It can't just come from EDC. We need to have planning involved and have this presented too.
Your planning commission has looked at this also a lot, so I don't
that's
want just
I mean.
Spinning
I don't
your wheels so much.
That's what I'm saying.
The key is when you say planning, do you mean planning commission or do you mean the planning department?
Exactly.
You're going to have to guide me because I don't know, but we do know that there are issues, and that is something that we can affect without spending any money.
That's true, but go on.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what I pulled up. So basically, I put the code in there, which I told you, it's the only thing they can do is basically a daycare or a nursery.
And please clarify for me, is this just Main Street, or you're
this
saying
is it's mixed, well, it's mixed, you, I don't know, you can pull up with the mixed-use zoning. This is mixed-use zoning for the Willamette District, so it might be different for other places.
It's pretty universal.
Okay.
There's
so
only one mixed-use.
I looked at Lake Oswego, Oregon City, Milwaukee, and looked at their mixed-use code. Pretty much every single city, food and beverage services, it's conditional in Westland, allowed, permitted outright mm-hmm. in all the other cities. A bar, conditional in Westland, permitted outright in all the other cities. Restaurant, conditional use in Westland, permitted in all the other cities. Business professional services, conditional use in Westland, permitted in all the other cities. Personal services, permitted in all the other cities. Rent and rental services, that is permitted in Oregon City and Lake Oswego, conditional use in Milwaukee. So that's the only one that was a condition, that was a difference. Fitness, same thing, retail and lodging, permitted outright in every other city except Westland.
Except there is another zone, the OBC, which is office, business, commercial. And there is a list of 13 types of businesses that can go in there. But
right.
I don't know. Mixed use might be completely different.
Mixed use is completely different. And this is so. This is 8th. 8th Avenue is all mm-hmm. mixed is all mixed use. So basically, nothing. You can't even have. There's insurance company. There's Five Guys. All that stuff had to be conditionally permitted.
which is crazy. But the reason why they set it up, they did this like 30 years ago. But the reason why they did it is because they wanted to have a buffer zone between business and residential. And so they thought they were giving this buffer, but it's so limiting, you can't do anything.
And what's going to happen when this whole Riverwalk thing comes into play? So all of these things need to be affected in some way so we can attract businesses to come in here.
Does that map have the mixed-use areas?
Yeah, I think it's got everything.
So we can look at other areas of the city.
This is OBC here. This is mixed-use.
But I'm just thinking other parts of the city. So yeah, so the whole Arch Bridge area, that's all mixed use.
And
Bolton
is
mixed. So yeah, so all those places you can't get business
here
in.
Too.
Yeah, but as Gail points out, I'll just say, it was adopted not in a vacuum.
Yeah.
I mean, people had reasons for doing it at the time.
Yeah.
So you have to honor that and figure out what's changed.
Yeah.
How the needs changed, how the community values changed, because there was a lot of values probably that were behind that.
Yeah.
And address it from that perspective. The community has changed.
And then my neighborhood is, I've heard people say, we promised those people that they would always stay mixed-used and it wouldn't be business. And I'm like, good grief, you can't promise land use to anybody.
Is mixed use, though?
I mean, things change.
Well, I do think, the idea of things changing and Westland kind of having a rhythm, I mean, what you guys are talking about, a rhythm of one beat 30 years ago, and we're waiting for the next beat to hit. That's kind of a very long trajectory there. Yeah. So it seems like we are, as a city, a little behind the curve in terms of being able to change, to be able to respond to change. So I don't know. It always amazes me to hear you and even you say that you feel that we have some kind of impact that we could have with the city council, when, again, I'm more on Jennifer's side, is how can we go there and talk to anybody without a plan? You do. You have a plan. You have a vested interest in it. You have a business there. I'm not up to speed. I think we all have to be up to speed if we're going to go as a committee.
But my whole thing about this is, why isn't planning handling this?
Because it's a public.
Why is EDC
process,
handling this?
Planning doesn't know what the needs are until somebody.
I don't know. I'm not a government expert.
There's different. One, I'll tell you, your planning staff is hammered with all kinds of other work that they're doing, especially the volume of applications that are coming in. So there's no one on that staff that's going to sit down and write code. But also, this comes back to really, it's the Planning Commission. These are always citizen-driven processes. Mm-hmm. Planning Commission is busy with applications and such. And frankly, my understanding is this has just never come up to the table. And a lot of that is because it's not a council goal.
Well, that's
council
not necessarily
goals drive
true.
Things other directions.
Because my husband was on Planning Commission for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted this kind of stuff done for a couple of years, and they canceled meetings left and right because staff was too busy.
Yeah.
So it never got on the agenda for them.
Well, what I would suggest thinking about is, what is the outcome you want? I mean, you've expressed that really clearly. You don't need to walk in with the specifics of change, because it's going to take too much work to really understand that yet. But if you walked into the council at this joint work session and said, look, we're seeing these barriers to the economic development of the city, and here's the things we think we need to look at. Because the council's really going to have to give some marching orders to the staff and to the Planning Commission, which is really the appropriate body. I'd suggest working in concert with you on these things.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And get
the council to do it. For you to take off and do a lot of this without council blessing is probably, it might be running down a rabbit hole, and you don't know that. Council really has to give you direction, especially if it's not a goal. Yeah.
And
but it is
it
a goal.
Is a goal.
It is a goal, and that's why we wanted to hear from you. So the suggestion is, instead of looking at it as all of West Lynn, since there's a bunch of expertise in Main Street, and there's been issues already that we've seen between the cidery and a few other things that are going on, that could be an initial focus and say, okay, we're going to focus on Main Street. Here's the things that we think need to be implemented or potentially changed to encourage more economic development in the Main Street area, and then take another area.
Mm-mm. I'm not sure I can tell you how much I object to that.
Another reason to object is because code is not specifically for certain areas, unless you have an overlay zone.
Well, this is what that is.
And sometimes, like down in the Arch Bridge area, we could have an overlay for specific code and zoning down there for certain reasons. Mm-hmm. But it is dangerous in code, zoning and code, to have these things that you have to figure, okay, I'm over here now, so these are the rules. And now I'm over here, now these are the rules. And
I think planning we have a perfect person to be able to describe an example of. You have so much knowledge, you've done so much work in this. Mm-hmm. This is an example. You have all the ducks in a row. But yeah, if we're going to have codes and start looking at codes and zoning, it has to be able to be expressed to the entire city.
Especially with this new project coming in. And thirdly, if you're telling us the planning commission is so slammed with applications and everything, how are we ever going to expect them to get any of the work that's where
the council might say, instead of the commission doing it, ask you to at least do a first review and draft and take it to the planning commission legally. Mm-hmm. Has to process this.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but they can take input from this committee to at least jumpstart that process.
And they don't have the expertise also that the economic development does. You have firsthand knowledge of Main Street because you've been on there for a long time, and you've been, and you as well, because you've been involved with it. So you know what's really needed there. And I'm guessing, I may be totally wrong, that the things that are needed there are probably similar to what's going to be needed on 43. Mm-hmm. And the others. So that's why I was suggesting maybe a first start, because you have expertise on Main Street and you all get up to speed about it and come to, here's the kinds of recommendations we would make for Main Street, which we think could be applicable to the next area. Then that gives us a start to tell the Planning Commission, okay, start to look at this, because the Planning Commission doesn't get any input other than applications that come in, and then they might look at it.
But then they reject it, so they can see
right, but they don't know about it until it comes in versus
but the white,
you
but
folks
the really,
know about it because you're experienced
the
and
really
you're
pushing part is, it, trying and to push it. And you it brought through. It up, John, is that when you have a live application, zoning and code cannot change. It's based on when they
provide their application.
Yes, when
vested in the laws
when
of place
you guys, when the planning department deems it complete, it's the code and the zone that's on the books.
Right.
So that's why it's a dangerous zone if we kind of bump along and say, yeah, we really need to change something a bit. Well, maybe we'll get around to it, because if you have a live application, you're screwed.
I think there's some validity in it, in that if you change all of the mixed-use zone and you have all of those different areas of the city, it's you have that much pushback from all the different things where they have different needs, right? So the people in Willamette, I think, are okay having that mixed use and having those businesses go on that street, because it's half businesses already. Like, it's not going to make a difference. But if you put those mixed use zoning allowing businesses in some of the, like, on the top of the hill, I don't know if it's just the Safeway or how far it goes, or, you know, like, these other areas might resist it, and so the whole thing fails because you try to push it for the whole city. This zone change for the whole city instead of the Willamette.
We do have four districts in this town of businesses. So there's not one area that is business. So I think we could look at it that way.
But what I'm saying is that you have a chance of the code failing when you have all of the people.
Well, that's when you need to be adaptable if that happens and those resistance comes up. Mm-hmm. And maybe you pull out and create a Willamette zone. It's mm-hmm. very specific just to that area. And let the others rest as they are.
So, with the subcommittee that we have, why don't the four of us, if Kavi still wants to do this, work together, pull, see what we can see. Is that all up on the website?
Oh, yeah.
Can we get all that code stuff? We'll schedule a meeting and devise at least a framework.
Okay.
Do you want to send
And then
to
we'll
the
let we'll present it to the rest of the group, mm-hmm. the committee. And then what would be your suggestion after that, after we kind of agree on, go to this work session and present it to council? Do we need to work with maybe a subcommittee on the planning commission? Would be the logical steps?
What I'd do is take it to council and say, look, we've discovered all these things. Here's some ideas. Mm-hmm. And get direction out of council.
And then council gives direction to planning commission.
Yeah. They could easily say planning commission and EDC form a joint subcommittee to try to refine this stuff.
Or it's something that they can ask the CCI to work on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you...
I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. Do you think you could send Jennifer and I and Kazi, if you want to, I think he's, you know, gone for a couple months here, but the information that you clearly have, you know, electronically, and just send it to us so we can review it before we meet, whenever that is.
Yeah, and well, I'll look into this before the 4th of other, July. The zoning, because I know it's a, it's that the district code, and I'll see if it's how different it is for those other mixed use in the city and where those areas are to
and
see
we'll
if it's
it
going to make
restaurant.
Sense.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, wouldn't most of the things that apply in Willamette apply to the other business districts?
Not necessarily. Because I would say...
In general. Not some
I would,
specifics, but in, to be able to make some generalities that this is a real has been a real hindrance for these kinds of businesses.
Yeah.
And you guys would anticipate it to happen in the others, because that's what we're trying to look for.
Right.
And we're trying to look for other areas
but we
that
also have OBC,
to change.
So yeah. OBC and mixed, and I think they need to both be at least looked at to see what are we doing okay in OBC? What were the decisions years ago made to do that? Because mixed use is so limiting. It's really crazy.
Well, okay. And I went through this when I went through the whole Con-Am application, is that the mixed use isn't really defined in our code either. And so I had to go through the definitions of what the state considers mixed use in their handbook, you know, and what the county considers, because it's not defined in the code. So maybe that needs to change too. But what I would say is that I think opening up mixed use to, at the very least, like your insurance type business, your office type business, that kind of stuff, I don't think there'll be much pushback on that. It's low traffic and stuff like that. Saying mixed use can opens up to restaurants and bars, like it would probably be fine in Willamette, but I'm not sure someone wants a bar next door to their house in like a residential area. That, but you know what I'm
all
saying?
43, it would apply.
Yeah, but I'm looking at some of those
area that
well,
as areas as it gets
Robin
built out,
already has two bars.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying that you might get more pushback from that if they're like residential, they're the overlay zones where they're transitional from residential to commercial. Then you might get more pushback of something like a bar that might create a lot more traffic and parking issues and stuff versus easy stuff like an, like I don't know why we don't allow offices. You know, like I don't know why you can't have an attorney's office or a insurance office or anything in our mixed use zone. I mean, that seems like what mixed
crazy.
Use is supposed to be.
Okay,
you know?
That's right. So why don't
involved in it one more involved in the 43 as well as we start working on, you know, the $4 million that we got to improve 43, the 3 miles of it. That is hopefully going to encourage people to want to move in there because it's going to be nice. It's going to be open. It's going to be a little bit. Keeping our fingers crossed a little bit better to get
to
through, and it'd be nice to have these things zoned correctly so that when it's all done, which is going to take 3 or 4 years before it gets done, that it's ready for the development, and so it would be a big help.
What I'd like to say about this committee is that we don't want to see that, oh, we can't have a meeting because so-and-so's out of town or not here or whatever. We have to, you know, get going.
Forward.
Yes.
Forward.
And so hopefully you have enough people on the committee that will able to work and participate, because otherwise we're just keeping kicking that can down the road.
Well, they've been kicking it for years.
I know, but
they kicked it to us.
I know,
so.
but we really want to, you know,
so
help business, so we want to stop that.
So next steps, we are going, I will schedule a meeting with the four of us. I'm going to do it before the 4th of July, and I'll send out a couple dates and times, and then if you will forward your information that you have,
okay.
And then
we'll review it before we meet,
and we'll get the codes and everything, and we'll all have a brainstorming session and get at least a framework that we can present at next month's.
The 11th, I believe you said, is that that's on here.
The 13th is the next meeting, July 13th, and the council joint work session is
17th.
July 17th. So that
great.
I mean, just one. If one area is focused and you bring some concrete recommendations that you feel strongly about could improve, I don't want to talk for the rest of them, but for me, you know, it makes sense to go for it. I mean, we really need to address this stuff and get those, you know, those businesses. And so that's what we're here for. That's, you know, between economic development and the council should, you know, help direct all that.
Yeah, so
the start. And that's been our focus to try to do with all the different zonings. You know, we want to avoid some of the things we've had problems with in the last year that cost us for attorneys and appeals and all that stuff. So we're trying to, you know, get ahead of the.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's that.
You're on that. And the EDC member retreat, I haven't heard anything about that from Troy, so I think we'll just table that, right. Or do you have a date?
Well, actually, I'm not sure you can wait for Troy to make a decision on this.
Okay.
Because he's kind of out of the loop. Unless you want to have it catered by Winco, we do it at their conference room. But I did get confirmation out of Eileen Stein of a willingness to pay, as long as it's not you know, filet mignon. So there will be some support for doing it. It's the first time any groups met off-site and had food. Other city groups, sometimes they'll bring food in for their own meeting. So it's the same idea as just doing it off-site. Troy, he's just not going to be able to put it together. So if you want to do this, you're probably going to have somebody else step up to the plate and arrange it.
Just FYI, and this is the first I've shared it with anybody, but and I haven't talked about it with the council yet because I've got to find the right spot. But I would like the city to host an event for all the volunteers on all the committees, kind of like not a retreat, but a big thank you, and get all the committees together, all the people who volunteer their time. So it's, you know, you seven, and then, you know, there's 10 other committees, and, you know, so it's like 70, 80 people. And I think the city mm-hmm. could probably find money enough to put together an event to recognize.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's an important thing mm-hmm. to do rather than do it. I mean, doing it individually is fine too, but I would like to do that. So I'm going to bring it up at one of these points, you know, to do it. And I'm pretty sure just like Shane can find a little bit of money to make Robinwood Wi-Fi, you know, I'm sure we can find enough to have a nice little event.
That same idea, it'd be good to also be kind of a social nation bonding, because sometimes our different committees overlap, and it'd be good to know each other.
Rachel's on the TAB, and other, you know, there's some mixture and stuff like that, and so it's good. And, you know, it's only it's a good thing to do.
On what? You can find a place for us.
And I don't see any pushback from the council. I think they'd probably agree, you know.
Well, I mean, based on what we're discussing, do we really want to do that, or do we just want to rather have this larger group? I know Kazi, it's been a really big deal to him. He's not here tonight, though, and so, I mean, as much as I love seeing all of you, do we want to have that, or do we want to try to go with Richard's suggestion and go, okay, and does anybody really care?
Well, I got the take that was something very different. You know, you were just, it was like a recognition gathering where I think what Troy had said in earlier meetings was just, this was a time for us to bond, us to get to know one another outside of this meeting, who we are, you know, and just common interests, and just not talk shop, but just, you know, get to know each other.
Also, it was like a team building event,
right? Experience. A gathering, and we didn't come in with a main agenda except just to get to know each other. So that, you know, I think that's a great option to do.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Might be also worthwhile to find out and wait and see what Troy is able to do, if he's got to resign, or if he feels he's going to resign, and you're going to get another member. And mm-hmm. I mean, Kazi's going to be out for 6-7 weeks, so he's missed this meeting.
Probably table it.
Another meeting, you know, maybe.
Yeah, let's table that.
Sounds like the planning commission.
I think it's important to do.
Well, that way, if you have new members, it'd be nice to include them.
Agreed.
That would be the purpose.
All right, so we're going to table that.
We're going to table that
July or August. Okay.
And then the business licensing database, I put that on as an addition. And the thing about that is that the city would be looking at doing a different software. So that's a Shane item, but I think that we have talked over the time that we would like to see maybe like what neighborhood these businesses are in. I'm trying to get the city, and not just me, but other people are too, to be thinking of our land mass as based on the neighborhood associations, because it does give you an idea, you know, where is that business located? If you look at a business or list of 500 businesses or 1,000 businesses, it's just like, you know, whatever, right? You don't know
how they organized by neighborhood.
Yeah, so, and that could be a question on their listing.
Form.
Yeah, and it could be easy to where, like a lot of times you can type in an address and boom, it selects it for you. Just like the government, you know, to find out who your representative is, you mm-hmm. type in your address and it populates it. So I think that's something what we talked to Shane about. So anyway, that's kind of my comment on the business license. Deb, did you have any other specific?
You're not going, you're looking at this as an agenda item, or you're looking at the old minutes?
No, I'm looking at the agenda item. So I added it to number 3, old business.
Oh, I see, okay.
See, I wrote in the business license database. And then I wrote Shane underneath it because we were going to get an update from Shane.
I have to say that in terms of the business licensing stuff, just, you know, I think I
wasn't it the proprietary issue
ire last month, and when I was at the little party we just had to kick off
the waterfront
thing, I ran into Shannon. So, you know, I do find once again that a lot of what we're trying to do in development, as I said before, is just shocking to me if we don't even have a working website.
Fair.
So, you know, most of these things, yes, I would definitely like to have an update on business licensing software, but frankly, I would like to see updates of those guys coming in here, but I would say frequently but randomly. I don't want them to be on the agenda and them know that, hey, in 2 months I have to go talk to EDC. I'd rather be giving them a little bit more of time to work on their own and us being able to assess how well are they doing. And so that would be more the onus on us to say, if we saw them in May, it's the summer, let's ask somebody back for August and see how far they are.
I think that we need to hold feet to the fire, though.
Okay. I like, you know.
So we need, I think, maybe every 2 months an update.
Fine, except I would still rather have it be random. Meaning, I'd rather if that be on our agenda and not just say to them, put this on your agenda, we want you to meet us every 2 months. Unless you guys think that does. I mean, I would like to see some accountability.
Yes.
And if you think that, or the rest of you guys, think that actually improves the accountability, to have them know that every 2 months, Jennifer's going to say, how's it going?
I would agree with Jennifer saying having that marked accountability, because if not, then if it's so random, I didn't have anything to present, or I don't have anything going, and
that I find very,
them.
Very significant, and something that probably needs to go to Ms. Stein. If
yeah.
somebody, you know, can't keep that on their agenda and can't keep up with it, somebody needs to know these things just fall off the list.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to them to just expect random. I think it's in their best interest and ours to have it scheduled so they know exactly what to expect. They have steps. I want to know what's going on, and so I'm gonna give them the same courtesy of that, wanting it planned.
Yeah, well, I agree.
And one thing that comes to my mind is that when we had him here last time, there was probably about 5 things that we were concerned about and wanted to know about. So, you know, that list hopefully dwindles down when things get resolved and things get going great. So maybe you don't need them every 2 months. But right now, there are things we need answers on, and we don't want it to be 6 months from now.
But we're talking about two different things here. You guys are talking about website, and the business license database is something completely different.
It's on the website.
No. It's because we're asking for the database for our purposes versus... The website is for
everybody.
The city.
Yeah. Okay. It's the same company that created the website, created the business license database, and owns it proprietarily.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going away.
Yeah.
Absolutely going away.
And that's good.
I talked to Shane at length about this yesterday.
AHA's going away.
Not AHA, but the business license part is going away. So he is actively shopping now, based on what other communities do, to find one. And what he hopes to find is one that has enough flexibility that it can define the data that is gathered.
Yeah, that's
and
what he told us.
He told me that he wants, you know, when he has some sense of who the vendor will be, and because of public purchasing laws and all, it takes a while to get there, but come back and talk to you about what's that great information.
Mm-hmm. So here's
and,
the thing.
That we would want to use.
An update doesn't have to have him physically coming here, especially if it's like, I'm still vetting business software.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But there needs to be
just
an update. Like, John, this is please update them and put this. Let them know.
He can do a little. He can feed it through me or
correct.
Do a little written report. Sure.
But maybe it's every 3 months. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Whatever is appropriate.
But we also could be thinking of what we want asked with that licensing.
I think we gave that to him.
Well, I think the proprietary information that he said he can't give us, if I'm remembering correctly, what you have to enter when you have to update your license is probably income and number of employees. I mean, I'm sure that's not public information or something. Companies don't want
don't
to be
really,
public information.
We don't care about that either. We don't
so,
need that.
No, he and I talked about it. I said we want metrics.
Yes.
Yeah.
We want metric data. He gets that. That will be an important part of the way he designs it.
I do think, going back to you, Bev, about the website itself, that's important. That
it is important.
It goes right back
to,
you know, being marketable and attractive to outsiders, you know,
and
businesses.
And that can be within his report.
And what?
When we ask for an update, it could be about the business license database and the website.
Yes, but I do think if we're going to present ourselves as this up-and-coming city, come live here because we're so wonderful.
Come do business here.
You know, yeah. Well, any of it. The whole thing, business, live, whatever they need to do, they're going to be like, if they can't keep the website up to date, then, you know.
You're looking for a needle in haystack.
Well, yeah, and we're not attractive, and people don't want to see this.
Do we need an action item and or a motion to move this type of thing forward?
He is planning on coming back in September because he just doesn't think he's going to have much before then. Okay. If he does, though, he knows he can come back.
Well, before you, I was wondering if AHA is going to be stopping this service. When's that drop dead date?
The end of the year.
Okay.
So. But he's not waiting that long.
No, I know. Yeah, I'm just worried that, you know, if things are dropping sooner.
So maybe we could just circle back with Shane prior to the September meeting.
Well, let me check in with him.
Yeah,
if
check
he's got
in.
Something substantive, he can come to.
Okay, but
July
I'd like it to be reflected in the minutes that you're going to do it. It's an action item. And that we can follow it up that way, please.
Okay.
Got
so
it.
Italian.
And then you know, he's getting pressure from another side because I've been complaining about the website for a long time.
Another thing that I recently did is I was looking through the website at different things, and I found all sorts of mistakes. And so I reported them to Shane and reported to who I thought was in charge of that page. And we all need to be doing that because that's not how the city is set up.
I know.
And I found out, even on the listing on the staff, you know, somebody's been promoted to the financial director, and that wasn't on there. So
it is amazing to me that there is no in the city itself. There's no sense of wholeness. Maybe that's not the best word, but that anybody in charge doesn't see that and feel that
ownership.
We need ownership. Thank you. It needs to be drawn together that we present this. You know, this complete picture. It's still amazing to me. I mean,
yeah, it's like herding cats.
I've been working on. I don't know how many of you know Dylan Digby and what his function, his primary function is, but he's an assistant to the city manager, and one of them was to be able to track all the open items within the city because there were tons of them,
right?
And there was no focal point, and so I keep bringing it up almost in every meeting. To do all these different things, we need a funnel. And it comes into one person in the funnel or two people, whatever that is, but he's pretty much the end of the funnel. And he parses it out to the appropriate people.
Delegates.
Right, and there's a tracking sheet. And it shows who's responsible for it, what the current status is, and it's a big tracking sheet. Now, that needs to be publicized on here, but I keep coming up with the same thing. We need a focal point for the city, so with website stuff, if he's the one that would get it and say, okay, this department, because it's departmentalized, and Shane told me that a while ago, which seemed like, oh, this is kind of weird, because some departments are better at it than others, you know, updating, just like,
it should be a webmaster.
You know, the EDC page,
exactly.
Up until about 2 weeks ago, till I noticed it wasn't updated yet, and I sent it to Courtney. I said, Courtney, would you please update it? It still has me as a member, and Brenda, you know, and doesn't have the new members, and we're 6 months into the year, and so it was done, you know, within a day, and so now it's updated, you know. Mm-hmm. And so if there's a funnel, in my mind, the end of that funnel is responsible for getting it out to the appropriate people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know where to go.
At least directing it.
You're right, exactly.
And it's a first step.
And then it's a track.
It's a first step, but somebody needs to say what didn't get done and why not.
Well, that's what, it's on a tracking. It's on a tracking sheet, and so the next step that I'm trying to get to is...
Mm-hmm. Or you could look at that as a docket.
Seeing the tracking sheet, because I don't see the tracking sheet.
Well, baby steps, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any action item out of this discussion?
Well, my action item is to challenge all of you that if you notice something,
all right,
you need to say hello.
So what's happening
with Shane?
That's my action item. I'll make arrangements for Shane to come back.
All right.
Okay.
You want him next month?
Or you want September? Let's make it later because we're doing this other thing. Yeah, it'll be too much. Okay. And so let's
make
it August.
He really didn't have anything to tell you next month because he's in research phase.
There's that whole process of it. You've got to get government contract stuff. It's going to take
Moving on.
My experience with Shane is he's a get-it-done kind of guy. So
okay. Well, I'm glad to know what the drop-dead date was because we were not talking about that before, and we need to know that because if we're going to make a decision,
we can't wait and wait and wait if it has to be done sooner.
Yeah. I mean, we know he's working on it. That's the important thing.
Okay. So I think that takes care of all the old business, because the license has to do with Shane, so that was all those issues. So our new business is the Council EDC joint work session, which will be July 17th.
What time is that?
What time do you...
Oh, it probably starts at 6. Okay. They haven't noticed it completely yet.
Because it's a work session.
They usually start at 6.
Okay. So I think we kind of
you don't have to have anything, you know, real formal and stuff like that, because the work sessions are made to be informal, but right. with, you know, some recommendations based on some experiences like that, mm-hmm. would be wonderful.
And are we expected to be there, do you think, for about an hour? 6 to 7? Something like that?
I'm not sure.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, yeah. An hour. We should have an hour.
Yeah.
Not is there anything else on the work session
couple
agenda?
Hours,
yeah.
It might not take that long, but I think an hour is safe to say that, yes, how long you'd be there.
These work sessions
are joint. It's a joint planning commission.
Yeah, I know, but
meeting.
They don't necessarily
planning commission also
want us there.
Need us
down
there.
And then
oh.
TPL polling discussion and then council rules updates, and that's all that's on the work session. So.
Well, that could be a good thing that the planning commission is there too.
We already had one joint one with them, and we prioritized what we thought made sense. And
will there be
that's where some of the zoning came out?
It's like it. I'm channeling him.
Will there be
snacks?
Oh, snacks!
Yeah, very good.
Okay, that's the only thing we have on new business. John, did you need to add anything to that?
Nope.
You're good with that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're buzzing right through this thing.
Go ahead.
So we're at number 5, which is other items of interest. We'll start with the EDC members. And Jennifer, do you want to kick
does
it off?
Does anyone have any news about the old Higgins building? Do we know anything else?
There's been lights on and things coming and going, but that's
really?
All.
Do we know if the bankruptcy thing was ever finalized? I thought it was going to be like around June.
July 1st is when Troy said
John Williams
possible.
And I were talking about it today, and that was basically the sense, as it was still in the last stages of the bankruptcy. So.
Okay. And then that means whoever wants to take on the lease can move in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I notice every time I see something down there, every once in a while, I stop and I talk to the guys that are there. And they've only said, yeah, we're just cleaning the floors and we're just doing this. They're just doing maintenance.
Did they hand you a broom?
Because on Nextdoor, on Nextdoor.com, I know you're on it. Everybody goes, oh, I saw things there and here's the rumors and there's tons of rumors. And it's like, no, I went and looked myself and asked them, no.
People are eager for something.
Yeah. I have not clicked the link, but I have noticed that the city website has the old something. What do they have? They're defining that as the empty place down there. So you know you can go and look to see that. I guess there's really no.
Yes. But there are people cleaning. That's actually good.
Yeah,
sign.
Yeah, that is.
No,
a good sign.
That is. I think hopefully that means that they're possibly
they're getting ready to show it to people.
Uh-huh. Something. Yeah.
Prepare us.
Okay. We have to think positive. Okay. And Rachel, do you have any?
I think two days ago, the Waterfront Open House was a big, huge success from what I could tell. What did we have, 250, 300?
Yeah. Kind of felt like it.
It was a lot of people.
We expected 30, and we got 125.
That's awesome.
Oh, good. So okay. I only said 200 because somebody else said 200.
Yeah, somebody said that to
us. But I was very pleased with what the displays and the turnout and the conversation and just the feedback from the public. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good. A lot of stickies on those.
A lot of stickies. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of good ideas, maybe some not very feasible, but, you know, I think it was just really that the public, it was good to see the public there and interactive. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know who's responsible for grabbing those stickies and putting things together? Mr. Morgan, again.
So I'll jump ahead to my item.
You got a plate, you know, he's
well,
the one. So.
I was going to say, we probably should go through and then staff.
I'll give you a report on what we're doing with
okay.
that when
okay.
I get to me.
So, Shannon?
So on that, piggybacking on that, some of those stickies, I would like to point out, in case anybody is listening, The ideas to close the paper mill and take away the paper mill is a ridiculous idea. That's a lot of jobs we'd be losing. So from an economic development standard, we do not want to take over the paper mill and close the paper mill. That's because I saw that like three times. Like,
I think I was not the only one, but yeah, I was at the paper mill since I saw you last, because I really did like the project that, you know, that they provided. And the reason I liked it is having, you know, periodically run into Russ, or maybe John talking about the waterfront, or you talking about the waterfront, this idea that we want to bring somebody to Westland for something that's unique and kind of look at what's going on in Oregon City. Truly, what they have over there is unique. But, I mean, it is a mess. I mean, A, they're still operating, and B, the cost of actually creating a walkway out there to be able to look at both the falls, which are outrageously beautiful, and it was a very wet day, and, you know, we've had so much rain that the falls were, like, outstanding.
Yeah.
I didn't see any eagles that day, but there are definitely places where you could go out into the river and have sighting areas and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think that we should never lose sight of the fact that we do have something really quite unique here, and that we do need something unique. Now, the difficulty about it, I mean, it seems, you know, it's not like any kind of a straight shot, because the paper mill, as you point out, is still there operating and working. But I think we should not let it go and keep trying to work with it. I was pretty impressed. The person who wrote the grant, she was a very nice person.
Yeah,
she was their environmental... health person, their environmental safety person.
Yeah,
so, Penny, she was really quite good. And then I got to, you know, take a look and see how they're making paper over there. So that was pretty interesting. So that's just, you know, if they don't come back to us, I think we should somehow keep in track with them to let them know we're interested. I certainly don't think the city of Westland has a couple $100,000 to create a walkway out there, which would probably be at least that much once you start looking at the environment and safety, et cetera. But it's really...
Water taxi, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. I wonder about water taxis and hydrofoils.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wonder about hydrofoil taxis going downtown from Westland.
I know
people
that are ready to do that now.
Yeah.
Well, where will we put it?
My nephew has contacts out of Seattle, and they've asked about it, because they already run hydrofoils in Seattle.
And this is very much on the agenda, and it's not from here to downtown, it's from Eugene.
To downtown Portland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Using the river at 50 miles an hour in a hydrofoil, it only pulls about a 12-inch draft.
What did the fish people say about that?
Hydrofoils have very little impact.
I don't know. That's what everybody says.
Nobody has really gone that far yet.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. What else could we say? So does any cancer-causing drug. No impact.
Well, and then to tag on to what you're saying, is the tourism dollars. They considered giving more money to each county partner because they have this big pot that they're sitting on. And they chose not to. The board chose not to. But I don't know what the residual fund is, but there are some monies out there. So if there was, that would be a great tourism option.
It's
too
an incredible tourism
so
option.
You know, and then if it affected several counties, you may be getting the tourism dollars from several counties to make something like that happen, which could be really incredible. So
can I add something that I just remembered?
Sure.
It's kind of about the tourism stuff. So I also found out that after we gave the money, I mean, not that it's that big of a deal, but after we gave the money for the walking tour brochure to Main Street, the city had actually gotten a grant to print the brochures. But since we don't know any of these things, event people not
who's
talking to
first?
Each other.
Yeah. Who's on
seriously?
First?
So, yes.
I heard of it.
So, I think they did, that means it's going to allow us to print more brochures and do more of the, what they want to see more of a web presence with the grant that that the city got. We have they don't want to see as many hard copies. So the grant that gave them will do more print, and the grant the city got will
or
be
a mobile
more digital.
App.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All of the above. Yes.
So they still will use the money. It's just if we would have known that, we wouldn't have applied for the grant.
Yeah.
And someone else could have gotten the money.
Well, I was going to say, and the tourism board is willing to work within these frames. So if that meant that, you know, we're having extra monies or combination of things, that
they're open for that. Yeah. So,
how much money do you think they have?
Well, a few years ago, mm-hmm. I was told that they have $600,000 that can go to big projects.
Okay.
But that was kind of on the hush hush.
You went
so
out
if they have more money, I don't know what they have. Right.
You've been out to the Willamette paper, I mean Westland paper.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Two or three times.
Yeah. So you know what that looks like out there. It's like that's at least $600,000 right there. I mean, just pretty.
And that
pretty
would really draw tourism.
Oh,
for
yeah, amazing
everybody.
Shocking.
So, okay. Well,
I just had one quick question about the paper mill. Do they give field trips to like middle schoolers and stuff like that?
I don't know, but Penny would be the person to ask. Oh, probably not because it's so dangerous.
Yeah.
So
I wondered if that was an issue. But
we're
working on it.
I've been working a lot with them, and they actually have an assessment going on right now of some of these liability issues because they want to do more tours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and they're very confident they're going to be able to create a system to do that, but it's got to be done in a way that minimizes their exposure.
Exactly.
I suspect that by the time school starts, there'll be some opportunities.
I think it could be a great thing. You have kids that are going out there, they're coming home, they're talking about it, we're fundraising for this. I mean, it just feels like it could be a really positive
movement. The mill really knows it needs to get people.
And there is a small museum down there at the Locks. And maybe the kids don't know about that too. But when my girls were in school, up at the high school, they went. And it was small, but it's informative. A lot of good information. So you don't even have to tour the whole site.
Yeah, it would be good
to
have,
that.
You know, pushing
at least
the
start
that.
Of it. And then, too, the mill saw that there was interest in that, then they might work towards that. Okay, but that's not my item, my action item, or my item to talk about. My item to talk about, which I've brought up before, and it just makes me ill, is when a business down in Willamette wanted to just repaint their building.
That's
and the city was going to charge $1,000, not for the paint, not for the labor, but just to get the permit to paint the building.
Okay, this is why, this is the reason, is because it's
$1,000.
it's a historic district.
Right.
So, but I don't understand why we can't have a list of colors that are just automatically approved.
Yes.
So if you do it these colors, you're automatically approved, you don't have to do the permit. If you
want to
do a different color, then you got to go through the historic
review. Yeah, that's what I'm going to bring up when we go there.
Yep.
Now, the thing, too, is that we have already, you know, earth tones and certain things that are supposed to be down there. Why can't we just say, here is the palette, pick and go, you know? And even if that meant that it cost $100 of staff time, fine, $100 is
$100 is
but
$1,000? Yeah,
$1,000. You've got to be kidding me.
This. It's a small business, you know?
Yeah.
It's a coffee shop.
She can't.
She has to sell out of coffee to make that $1,000.
Why
would you hear that? The expression of coffee.
People now don't even want to be designated historical because of all the problems there are being designated historical.
What
so, I mean, it's come to a cacophony in many, many places, I guess, here as well.
Yeah, well, I just question the $1,000 fee. I mean, that just is illogical to me.
Because
we need to set it up.
HRB, and so that takes, you know.
Well, it shouldn't have to go to HRB if we have a palette.
I agree.
And
said
that you can't have two colors, you know, like a lot of times in a development, you know, if you like to have a greenhouse and I want to have a greenhouse and we're living next door, we're not going to be able to have two greenhouses straight in a row. So, I mean, there's some basic, easy ways to handle it.
Yeah.
It's just, you want to go, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, a sign permit, it tells you, you tell them the logo and what colors you're going to make it, and they say if it's approved or not, colors and stuff like that. So it should be as easy as pulling a sign permit, but if for approved colors, you know.
Come on, you guys, you're being rational.
I know.
Nothing to do with it. Absolutely nothing to do
then
with it.
Then you can change it to the new historic.
Yeah, but I can go back saying, remember, there was a constituency for adopting these rules when they were adopted. So you have to change your paradigm and change, you know, council's paradigm, the CUNY's paradigm about these things.
Maybe they
know. I have written a lot of codes like this and have gone very much to the model of the acceptable palette and design standards, and you do them with building permit stage or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if a person has another idea, you don't make them go through a variance process or anything. You allow a process for a different idea where they could go to Planning Commission or HRB by choice.
Yeah.
It's their choice to do it. These processes work, and they sure make life a whole lot easier.
Yeah,
it's
for everybody.
It's ridiculous.
It's so illogical that you just, you know,
Westland, where life isn't easy.
Oh, I know. But I think that that's our job. If we can make a difference on this,
you sure can.
Hallelujah!
Yeah,
you know, that would be fantastic.
Small changes,
because I mean, if we're supposed to have economic development in this
that
town. How are we going to do it? if we're stifling people? And, you know, we don't have to beat the dead horse, but if we have a business that could have been operating in Beaverton,
within 60 days, and look where we are now. It's, what, 6 months later, and we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. We're getting there, but we're not there yet.
That's right.
Why would anybody want to come to this town and put in a business?
What's funny is right now that building is non-conforming color. It was painted before the code went in.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even meet the code in the color it is.
It's hideous.
So someone wants to change it to meet the code, it has to pay $1,000.
I know. It's like,
and I'll guarantee you that probably nobody on the council knows about that.
Why wouldn't they?
Russ knows. Well,
why wouldn't they?
Okay.
Why would you know about the painting unless somebody says it?
Yeah.
I don't read the code.
But it's got commissions. There's commissions that report to you guys.
Well, but okay, it's also the code. You still have to change the code. Council can't just override the code.
I'm not saying that, but
no, she said it.
I've lived here a long time, and I have to say that I do not. In this instance, I don't know why the business person wouldn't go to a city council meeting and make their complaint. I do not feel, for the 30 years that I have lived in this town, that you can take something to a department and it goes out of that department or it gets done. I don't think there's a lot of accountability here, and I think that's one of the problems.
And you need to get rid of the people and then put people in.
Almost feels like you're shoving bamboo up my fingernails.
All right,
I'm so sorry for the other person.
Well, I think that's why Main Street is there, so we can people can and neighborhood associations are there, so people can go and talk to their neighborhood association or whatever organization.
That's true.
And they have, you know, ins with the city where they can bring those concerns.
And I've helped several property owners come to me with issues, whether they were having a hard time being heard by Public Works and blah, 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 and we worked it all out and got done. And actually the outcome between what the citizens wanted and what happened is fabulous. It looks wonderful. And yet, originally, I'm sorry, we have to do it this way. We have to do the straight line because that's what we have to do. You know, and it's really kind of crazy that you can't have some creativity in any of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, so anyway, that was my complaint.
Review of action items for our next meeting, which is when?
We haven't let them speak. We're not there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were there yet. Oh,
so
yeah, you have to review.
Richard.
You want me to go first? Mine.
Just staff. Oh, council. It says council.
Well, you whatever.
Or staff. Yeah.
Okay. You were talking about the paper plant.
Mm-hmm.
We just went on about 3 weeks ago a tour of you got to go through the paper plant along the locks to get to the old Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
It is an old PG&E plant, but it's still running.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did that whole long tour. We spent 2 hours, and we went through the Sullivan plant all the way to the end and out to the end where we could see the falls.
Uh-huh.
And we walked across, right along the locks, and that is just a fantastic. I mean, it happened to be a beautifully sunny 65 degree. You couldn't ask for a better day. And so we hung out watching the falls and talking and taking pictures for like a half an hour out mm-hmm. there. And a tour even through that PG&E plant would be pretty neat because the turbines that are running there, they're still running from 1953.
Uh-huh.
And there's one that was put in there in like early 1900s that's still running. It's been repaired a bunch of times, but it's an antique turbine. And there's 13 of them, and they will power 11,000 homes for a year in West Lynn.
Wow.
And they're still going. So, you know, tours like that are just, I mean.
Mm-hmm. They're unique.
They're dollars sitting there in viewing, because as we walk through the back end of the PG&E, there's these old, they're all rusty, but if they're kind of fixed, different cranks to get to open doors and things like that. Really unique, fun things that would be, to me, pull out a couple of them for the waterfront for art to show, you know, part of the history of West Lynn. It'd be wonderful. And so part of the thing you talked about, some grants, you know, through this budget process, I've been a real advocate of hiring professional grant writers, and I took the responsibility or the onus to talk to one that has been doing this for like 25 years, and she's been very successful. And she's, to get in with the grants, you have to get approved by these different grant foundations.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to prove your worth first before they'll even consider your paperwork and all that stuff. And so she's on all of them, and she's worked with many municipalities, the state of Oregon, lots of them. She's a really good person. So fortunately, we had enough money besides just for, you know, Willamette and the other things. There's $20,000 now in our budget for hiring a professional grant writer, and through my discussions, I never got to talk with you about this, but the waterfront, she says, is ripe for grants because it covers historic Mm-hmm. Tourism, it covers multiple things where the money is now.
Yeah.
And so I know John Williams is looking at, I don't know if he shared her name with you, but John Williams is looking at talking with her. So hopefully that would be an incredible grant to do like a walkway at the beginning of a tour. You know, $600,000, as far as a grant, is not that much. She's gotten grants up to $40 million. You know, so... Okay. I haven't looked at other grant writers. I just kind of knew of this person, and so I did a kind of just a call just to understand what's involved and what it costs, and she's $90 an hour. And so hopefully we'll be able to, the waterfront will be, get some advantage of some significant grants.
Well, and in the building that's furthest up the river, that's part of the mill, has this machine that took off the bark of the trees when it came down. And it'll never be used again, but it's rusty, and it could be a piece of sculpture, you know, whatever we do. Mm-hmm. And I would love to keep that in the history, you know. So
I mean, the mill has that whole building that they're not using that they wanted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the roof's ready to fall in.
Yeah.
5 years ago, the roof is ready to fall in.
Yeah, so that was a wonderful experience in having some monies in the budget for a professional grant writer and not, you know, an intern or somebody internally, because it takes a lot of time. If you're going to do it right, it takes a lot of time. You got to know how to do it.
That's wise.
And so, I mean, to me, the $20,000 might bring back who knows how much.
Okay, so
and
we
the
have.
Waterfront would be an advantage.
We have $20,000 for a grant writer. We have not hired the person that you're talking about yet. Is anybody actually even looking at resumes besides hers or his to be able to, like, get started on this project, or
John, well, I sent the name over to John Williams basically after we got the money in, and so he was going to contact her, and I'm sure he'll do his due diligence and maybe do a couple others. Or
is that a month ago?
They may be real happy with her experience. I don't know, you know, I mean, she's been doing it 25 years and been very successful.
Is it a month ago, a week ago that this started?
When did you talk to him?
Well, the budget thing finished a couple of weeks ago, and then Eileen was out, and he was waiting for Eileen to come back because she might want to be in on a
interview. Only 2 or 3 weeks.
My guess is he's gonna contact her here pretty soon, because he talked about doing it early June. So,
doesn't it seem that you would need to have a very
plan
that you're
going
to write
months.
A grant for,
right.
though?
Yes.
Yeah, you can't just start writing grants.
Yeah, our sense is we need to get this riverfront plan put together, and then it's very grantable, a lot of the things that are in it.
Yeah, without a plan.
Or the specific elements of the plan we very well may be able to get grant help for, like coming up with a curation plan for how you curate natural history or human history there and display it, which is kind of a real subset of the planning process. But we don't have money to go do that, nor expertise, so getting help with that particular piece of the work is something we can do.
But a grant writer that knows the foundations of where these types of things are and says, you know, as you're going through your planning process, focus on this because these types of grants are relatively easy to get, or this or that. And so getting in early, because the grants take, you know, 9 to 12 months to actually complete, you know, and the waterfront engagement plan hopefully is going to be about a year, John. Is that what's in the plan?
So. To your position, do you know of other grant writers, or were you just saying that it'd be wise to have
I could
an
option? Some other grant writers. No, but I
you
mean,
should
I
always
think,
have an option.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, I think, you know, you're
normally in city contracts and things, they do want to have two or three
that they are
reviewing.
One would think. And so, you know, my point with most of these things is I love hearing these discussions, but, you know, I kind of want these action items and some follow-up.
Well,
you know, I'd
me,
like
that
to see us be making
that was
some
the purpose moves. Of me investigating, just to say, well, here's a professional that's really expert in her business, and, you know, and we now have the money in the budget, because it wasn't originally put in there until I kind of brought it up, and others were kind of, you know, Brenda's been involved, she's been interested in grants for professional, you know, for that, because we don't take advantage of it.
And, well, and I've been involved
free money.
In the city for a long time, and we have not really had this. With Main Street, we've had grant writing and things like that, but it is something that we need to open up with, because a lot of these things that we want to achieve, they're impossible just on our own tax dollar. It can't happen.
Yeah. Well, and then the whole grant writing process with Main Street kind of opened me up to, like, how difficult some of these grants that we have to write for, I mean, are, like, 100 pages long that she's writing.
Yeah, and you have
they're
to know how
so
to manipulate
very detailed.
The maze.
You have
and
to,
that's
you
where
know, have to have a
versus.
Specific plan.
And did
all
you guys
laid out.
Write those? Or did you hire
well,
somebody
yeah,
else?
We have a paid manager that writes them.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to your point of having someone who's, this is their field, mm-hmm. you know, and the expertise and how to navigate that.
It's crucial.
She made really good friends. Like, we get a lot of grants from the Mount Hood Territories. So mm-hmm. She goes to all those meetings. She's made friends with all those people. Good. So then when she writes the grant,
she's on their approval list.
You know, and she constantly contacts them after the grant. Did you need any more information? Follows up and that kind of stuff. So that's how we've kind of gotten these grants because she's kind of made those relationships.
And sometimes that's what it takes to get in line for these things.
Yeah.
Because there can be other people wanting grants.
Right.
So I'm sure anyone pays any attention to this.
John, what is your report? I think you probably have...
The waterfront.
There we go.
Just briefly, we spent the last year assessing all the work that's happened to date, pulling all the pieces together, ground truthing it, analyzing it, coming up with all this good stuff. Council has blessed all of that and the citizen engagement process. A big part of what we needed to do over the last year is build credibility for this whole thing, because knowing that this project's kind of starting in a hole from the, you know, what happened in 2014 to bring it up. And I think we got that. So our coming out of the out of the gate process, it really was Tuesday night's
success.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just was. We were tickled pink. It was just so much better than we ever could have expected.
I didn't see the bottle of champagne to break against the wall.
Oh well, that was just afterwards. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
No, I can tell you.
There were 503.
So,
please hold. Yeah, it was like 503. Yeah. Actually, we all ended up over at Sushi Hooray afterwards. We really did.
Well, I had Manhattan. So
the I do want to point out before I forget. As of today.
Oh, got a link,
Look at there. Cool. And so we have brought
Something's easy on the website to find.
Yes.
About that.
That's good. Yeah, that's
so
the logo.
I did. No. Actually, we kind of sketched it out, and then we had a...
graphic artist do it.
Yeah, graphic artist do it. Mm-hmm. Really cheap. Worked out really nicely.
But it looks nice.
Yeah.
And we went through a lot of options. Okay. Actually, our original logo that we were working with had this... photograph as the background. It was just way too busy.
Too bad.
So this comes out nicely. And you'll see it. I want to share with you, if you weren't there, you'll see the whole logo on this. But this is the project schedule. I'll give you an idea of what's happening. But all those post-it notes, and there's hundreds of them, and I'm going through because I want to. I want to read every one of them. We're dumping them all in a database with keywords
it's
and all of this.
Proprietary.
Because, oh no, in fact, the whole thing is going to be on, you're going to be able to read it right here.
That's great.
That information.
Great.
When I get done with it. We also had the comment cards that people filled out, and dozens of those with a lot of essays, which are wonderful. So, I'm compiling all of that. So, all that'll go up here. The next stage, as it points out on this schedule, because of summer and everything, but what we really want to do is not base this engagement process on open houses, because that's a lousy way to really engage people. We want to go where people are and have opportunities not to go in and make presentations, but to go in and hear from people and to gather information over the next 4 or 5 months. Therefore, I want to come back here with our presentation, maybe at the July meeting, if it's okay with you, and spend some time with where we are and doing this. Because we did two things at this open house, if you were there. One is just ask people what their ideas were, which was based on doing post-it notes on maps, because we knew people would want to do that, and it was good. It was good information. Didn't see anything we hadn't seen before, basically. A lot of crazy ideas.
Well, I don't think we ever saw a golf course ideas. Before.
Yeah, and we actually have three golf courses.
I know.
That's how we got
down. No.
How big? A golf course has to be? I'm thinking it's a miniature golf course to go with the candy store that was also on the list.
Sure.
You know,
so we used to have a candy. It's kind of fun.
So, yeah. But the other thing, and the more important thing in many ways, were these guiding principles, which go back to, if you're familiar with, of course, what Oregon City did. They ended up adopting these guiding principles.
They had four of them.
The core values.
Core values.
We're calling them guiding principles. They've got to be a little unique. And actually, when you look at them, they're pretty similar. But we went back over 30 years and the 8 prior plans. I mean, literally, here we have 8 plans that never came to fruition.
Wow.
And by God, this time, this is why we're not calling this the waterfront plan. It's the waterfront project on purpose.
Yeah.
But we extracted all of these themes that came out of those prior documents None of them are a surprise by any means, but that's what was up on the wall, was the summary of themes and asking people to comment on them, because if we can get some consensus around these guiding principles, then that will really help us drive this project. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be gathering that input from small groups. We have four small groups that have signed up so far just based on making the announcement Tuesday night. But if you know any groups that would love to have a presentation, I want to be there. Either Darren or I will come, and we'll spend an hour just brainstorming with that group and hearing people's ideas.
And we'll let you know when we're having that.
Yes, we're counting on that.
Yeah.
Counting on that. And I'd like to do that with this group, if that's okay, at some point. Because you really, I mean, more than anybody, you need to look at these guiding principles and give input. That happens through the course of the summer and into September. We will do our next open house in September, but it is, as you see here, it's basically, here's what we've heard so far, what do you think? So there's no planning, per se, so far. It's more just gathering ideas and input from the community and to be...
feedback.
And also ownership.
Yeah,
that's a huge part of this, is to make sure the community really owns this, the broad community.
But that's why Oregon City did a better job than we did originally, is because that's how they did. They built it from the ground up.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really where we're going. And if you listen to them, they say nothing healed a divided community over there more than this process. Mm-hmm. And so far we're really seeing, you know, some sense of that here as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's all happening. I do encourage you to go here and do the Waterfront newsletter sign up right there. You see it, go and sign up. So we'll be putting out a newsletter with some whenever it comes out regularly. And we'll see how that goes. When there's news to print. We also are establishing a social media presence for this. There will be a Facebook page for it. That hopefully we'll keep updated on a daily basis. So a lot of engagement. Hopefully, I said it's all staff resources, you know. So we'll see where it goes. But right now, the important thing is to get these core guiding principles gelled. So we need your help in doing that.
One thing I'd like to see happen, here's an action item for you, is I would like to see this go out to all the neighborhood presidents that this is available for you to look at, because what they need to do is turn around and email that out to their list. Willamette uses the MailTrent. Some of the other groups do too. But that I promoted the heck out of your little icon down there at the bottom, and just I sent out 2 emails on it. I know Bolton sent out 3 emails on it, just to make sure that people knew what was going on. And I think that would help a lot.
Okay, so now that the page is live, it'd be really good to get that out.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to have them come present him?
Absolutely.
What else?
There is a Polo Classic in July.
Really?
July 22nd, 23rd. That would be a great place for you.
Set up a booth.
Yes.
Yes, sure.
You're talking about in Wilsonville?
It's here in West Lynn.
A Polo Classic?
Yes, I didn't know that until I started working at Albertina Kirk, because we're a beneficiary.
Where
and everyone's going to wear the polo shirts?
Where
and
the
get
polo
together?
I don't know. Well, okay. There's only a cabana. If you bought a cabana.
I bought a cabana.
There's only anyway, one polo field. And
that's
Wilsonville.
Where it is.
And then Wilsonville.
Well, they're calling it Westland. Anyway, that would be a great July 22nd through the 23rd.
That is a good idea to have
it's a
booth
huge, yes, it'd be a great idea.
What about putting a... Oh, that wouldn't work. I was thinking...
Is there going to be stuff with the music in the park?
I can get you one.
I'd really appreciate you letting me know.
Oh, yeah. Music in the park is a good idea.
Oh, yeah. You can have a booth at the farmer's market.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Right. And then...
How many hours are we talking here all of a sudden? They have free rutabagas out of that or something?
I was just at the Oregon City Market, but I don't think they'd really want you to have your booth there.
Probably not. Okay. So that's what's going on. Expect a lot. The schedule that I passed out is pessimistic. I mean, it's taken 2 years to pull this together. Mm-hmm. But we really want to have a draft done in less than a year, but then recognizing the process of working through the machinations in West Lynn and getting through to adoption. Kind of looking at a worst-case scenario. Hopefully it gets done a lot faster.
So can I ask a question? So when you're doing all this planning and stuff, who's at the table? And is there anybody from outside the city and yourself at the table?
No, there's no table. So, you know, and that's important. In fact, actually...
The table's his trunk.
That's about right. That's about right, yeah.
Basically.
There is no advisory group or anything for this. this is a community process. I'm just kind of facilitating the community being the table as this works through. Now, there'll be decision making as it goes along, but to a great extent, that'll rest with the council at periodic points. We don't have anything other than that, in that the sense is that if you end up with a steering committee, it ends up driving the agenda and you start excluding mm-hmm. the broad community.
That's what happened last that. Time.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we just don't want to do that. We want the community to own this process. Now, we have advisors. I mean, PGE and the tribes and all these people we're in contact with.
And are they coming to visit so you guys can have discussions?
Yeah. I mean, they're all great at inviting us in to talk about things. Okay. Today we had a great meeting with Oregon City. We're trying really hard to forge a really powerful and mutually beneficial relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, clearly we embrace the idea that the Willamette Falls Heritage Area is both sides of the river. It's yes. not two sides. It's the whole damn thing.
Yeah, the river's like a big U.
Exactly. And so this needs to be thought of and crafted in that way. Given, we'll have our unique stuff on this side, they'll have their unique stuff, but it's got to relate to
each transition.
Other.
It'll transition,
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. So we don't want to be the American side of the Niagara Falls and the Canadian side.
Yeah.
We want it to be one falls, okay?
Exactly.
And that's...
when I went to that luncheon in December with the Oregon City Business Alliance, and the developer was there, he was speaking, I spoke to him afterwards, and I said, this all sounds great, but don't forget about the West Lynn side. We need help, too.
Yeah.
And, because I said, we need to be thinking this as whole.
We need to, we're getting a lot more attention regionally, because finally people are realizing we're doing something.
Give me an example of that.
The Willamette Falls Heritage Foundation has never really deeply engaged West Lynn or given a lot of credence, even though Russ is on the board. I mean, kind of.
Aren't they really a local group?
Local. Well, they're housed here, mm-hmm. but they actually influence everything. I mean, broadly, they are much more than just West Lynn. They're the whole region. So they've invited me to come in now. I'll be going in 2 weeks and doing a big presentation with them, which will be the second time for doing that. There's a project committee. Here's an unfortunate reality of this whole thing. There are seven separate entities doing Willamette Falls stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's crazy. That's difficult to get to. But, you know.
Are they projects in those seven projects? Do you feel that they can be brought under an umbrella? They can be cohesive?
Oh, I wish it was, much more so. I don't think there's a strategic sense of the whole thing. A lot of great intent, mm-hmm. groups that formed spontaneously.
Yeah.
They don't align, I think, as well as they should and need to in the long run. Maybe our work will help catalyze that.
Yeah,
that and, of course, the work on the locks, which also is very much a West Lynn. It's not a West Lynn-driven project, but it's one in which we have a major stake in that. And those two things now are new energy in all of this.
But it helps if we want to see Eugene to Portland connected, because then it's not just us saying we want our canoes to go through the locks. You know,
oh no,
it's much bigger.
There's commerce, there's recreation, there's all kinds of things that happen.
Yeah, it's much bigger.
But the bigger picture, you know, I mean, there's even talk of a national heritage area, which would take cohesion by all the groups mm-hmm. around a singular vision to make that happen, which would bring tremendous money and visitor,
And that would be fantastic because this is very unique in the United States. You know, you're not going to find it just all over the place.
One of the wonderful things about this, when you look at it, is there's very few places where you'll find natural history, natural beauty, native history, and white man history, and economic history, and political history, all happening at one place. So the curation of this story is a huge part of this whole thing, in terms of how this tell the story and get people to celebrate it, feel good about it, and invest in it. And then, of course, the community's taking advantage of that in terms of tourism dollars and leverage. It's huge. It's completely huge.
I also liked when you mentioned some time ago, several months ago, that we're not just looking at one project. Because if you have phases, so five phases, one phase may be easier to get going on and get something achieved, which will catalyze the other parts.
It does. In fact, you know, our sense, I've been trying to figure out, so we're not doing any planning yet, but of course we're doing planning.
What's the, what I call the Genesis Project? What is the best first thing we could do? Mm-hmm. And I'm coming to the very much of the mind, it's the pathway that extends from Willamette Main Street to Arch Bridge, all the way through. That's the thing that will catalyze everything
and
else.
And zoning and coding and making sure businesses can...
Okay, and we'll work on
to
that.
Establish.
Sure, sure. Yeah, we'll definitely work. In fact, this we're going to write a whole new zone. There's no way we could use anything that's in the existing development code. We'll write some whole new zone that applies to this area when the time comes.
No, I do the things that walking past a good first step. I mean, that was already planned, wasn't it?
Parks and Rec, they just couldn't
get...
It's like a broad felt pin, you know, through there, more like a dotted line.
That's parks, isn't it? That's parks. That parks would be
responsible
for that. I just want to know whose budget that would be under. Curious.
Yeah, but on the other hand, maybe it's not all parks. We don't know yet. I mean, in terms of budgeting, all of this is just wide open. We don't know how this all plays out. Couple of good things to think about in terms of that kind of thinking is how does this all get paid for? Because there's going to be a lot of infrastructure that has to be paid for. You're not going to get the private sector to do that, so there's got to be some kind of public financing of some of this stuff. What does that look like? How do we make that happen? And the other thing to think about, if you don't have your handy-dandy map, make sure you get one, is this Pond Redevelopment District. I mean, we kind of said, that's off in the future, but it's not necessarily off in the future. And there's some tremendous potential to do remediation work in there and actually create developable space. So what does that mean? Is it just going to be open space? It'll be soccer fields? Is it going to be buildings? I mean, we don't know. But it could come to the table faster
and
than we might
and the promotion
think.
Of Lake Willamette.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Because above... falls and dams. They always like Lake Roosevelt.
Yeah, sure. Right? Lake Willamette. That's right.
There we go.
So we're thinking about...
And that was Thomas Bowe's input years ago.
So, like Lake Austin's like that. It's the river, but
so start thinking really long range about this. So okay, let me ask just one last thing. Well, something I'd like to do. I'm going to start doing it at, I think, these small group meetings. And I was going to do it Tuesday night, but I just got too crazy, so I didn't do it. It's just incredibly weird approaches. To approach a planning project, and yet I think it's critically important. I want to ask people, how do you feel? What do you feel when you think about the waterfront? And then how do you want to feel 10 years from now? And then work at that as the differential. It's kind of an emotional intelligence approach to it. Instead of talking nuts and bolts, we start talking heart and soul about this project in terms of how people feel and what their aspirations are, what it means to them, and try to get that as a key of how we approach
it. I would make
thing.
One more comment. How do we linger longer in this area?
Sure.
Because we are a linger longer community.
But what will it take for you on Saturday morning to choose to go down there and hang out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Coffee
and ice
cream. Coffee,
breakfast.
Yeah. Definitely food.
Thank
definitely
you. That was nice. So.
But I also want to see
natural
areas.
I got to have breakfast
areas,
in Oregon City every morning because we have no freaking
where
breakfast
do you
anywhere.
Go in Oregon
natural
City?
Beauty and socialism.
I either go to, either there's Yvonne, there's Caulfield House, there's Renee's.
Singer Hill's great.
I go to Singer Hill.
Yeah.
I mostly go downtown.
Biscuits is good.
Biscuits
like
is good,
say,
but
Biscuits is my favorite.
Yeah, Biscuits actually has really good food. Biscuits does have good food.
It just takes a while.
But, but you know, I go out both mornings, Saturday and Sunday, so I can't go there 2 days in a row.
You
could.
Singer Hill.
I could.
Where's that?
It's a little coffee shop up the hill.
It's right across from the library.
The old library.
The old library. The old library.
7th Avenue.
Yeah. Okay. It's a nice place.
It's really
funky.
They got a big
so
cafe.
You can at very
it's
least
funky, really.
Put maps or whatever information you want at our information booth at the market.
Sure. People love these things.
Yeah. We're showing our street plan there, too, so we could put it with all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it looks like we have come to a close.
I think so.
Do you have any more? Okay. So I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 8:03.
And our next meeting is at
July
13th. Yes. So we're not meeting again until we... Oh, no, that's the 18th.
July 13th. Wait, do you want to try to schedule that right now? Okay.
And our council work session is July 17th. Are we going to meet before, as a total group, before we go to the council meeting?
Hey, you need to get on the 12th.
Yeah, we meet...
Or 13th.
13th.
Right.
Okay. What is your guys' think of the 19th?
Because I have the farmer's market, the only day is Wednesday's the only day that's going to be bad for me.
21st.
Yeah, so...
What about you, Chica?
I was looking at something else. I'm sorry. What did you ask? What day?
Pajamapoon.
Oh, sure.
Please. The way I do it. But anyway, week of the 19th.
I'll get out the door tomorrow.
Thank you.
I think I'm pretty free. So, you know, what you guys are looking at, maybe a 5:30, 6:30 meeting. What's it like getting, you're
Thursday
actually coming
Friday
from Southeast now, aren't you?
I'm out at
Laurelhurst.
Sir.
Laurelhurst, okay.
What's the chance of getting the state involved?
So,
if we hook up with Oregon City and go down, do you think the state would get involved?
What do you think?
They're really involved in what's going on with all of this, except for
us.
What's a good time for you? I usually get home between 5:45 and 6.
Yeah.
I would think that would be.
Okay.
If they
and
see some kind of real formation.
What is it, 22nd or 23rd?
Within the state, but
I do.
22nd is
the
Saturday.
Regional Solutions
June. I'm good.
Unfortunately, that exec,
you, that
the guy who heads
sense
that up, just resigned. And so they're kind of floating blind at the moment, but still.
Where are you guys
going?
Is it worthwhile to have council go down?
I don't care. We can meet at like.
Kind of talk with
where can we have big tables? We are going to
meet at a restaurant. Or,
you know, yeah, we're going to be at a restaurant.
Regional Solutions Team.
So
we can
we have a table big enough
here
that we can talk and not bother
or even
bother
their job. On the other thing, we talked about ODOT.
Yeah, I guess you don't care.
Well, that's a whole other story.
You guys choose.
How do we strategize that ODOT?
I don't care.
John Williams was talking about the other day. It's like,
why don't you choose?
They're just
go ahead.
You know, right
you
in the
choose,
mode
choose
now.
Where
I mean, you want what side of town? You want that side of town, or you want the other
so
town?
So working on
it. Honestly,
it would make sense.
It's just not Cooperstown.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can ever do?
Cooperstown's really loud. Anyways, we tried
to. We've got our
to me, that's a critical path.
Yeah, it really is.
I'm trying to think
very
like
much
where
so
it's not kind of.
You can find a way to make it.
And the space.
Well, you'll save money by doing it this
way. I mean space.
And you'll benefit this wonderful thing, and you'll get some kudos for the, who knows.
6:30, the 22nd.
Yeah, I'll push back to tell you why it'll never work. Or whatever. But
we
need to get closure with him on a number of things.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Now, what were you going to say?
So, John,
I was
going to
say,
Allium's
happy hour goes to 6:30. Oh, so if we got there at like 6:15 or something.
Oh, you guys can get
it.
Yeah,
order.
We handed out a lot of those at the
I get it.
Open house.
6:15.
So,
okay.
I will
maybe the neighborhood association will start getting more people.
I mean, I don't care because I don't drink, but I thought you guys might care.
Savannah Oaks is the night we had about 16.
I'm allergic to alcohol. It's very sad. I became, in my late 20s, I became allergic to alcohol.
And there's some things that go
I'm sure Allium has lovely.
Unless I can have some kombucha. So kombucha has trace amounts of alcohol. It gets me drunk.
Get that going.
It's not ever been my favorite thing.
So
that's my life.
To really
that's
stimulate.
Fine.
Right, so you're
going to
forward
your
info.
Your block captains.
Well, I keep saying, you're on basically
stuff,
flat ground.
Should we just have
a
tablet
while
we're
push,
looking
but,
at
us
it?
Being up
surely
on
we're not
going to.
Yeah, that's too
I
bad.
Can print out out
have,
I can print out
when
the copies.
We have an emergency,
it's only
going to
be like a couple of
items. If the bottom roads are closed and there's problems.
It's just the three of us.
What are we going to do?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's why. If you don't
have
to have our act together. Yeah, so let's just do the three of us. Smaller groups get more done. If
no,
there's some kind of
city
okay, so I'll wait for your documents. So I can, I guess, go and just go to the website and look and see the codes
and like,
themselves
no,
and look at the zoning. I mean, just get familiar with it.
That yeah.
Your, those are your first
I'll
documents.
I'll put together some whole thing for you because I already have most of the codes.
So just send
and
it as
send
it
out
for
all the different times
I've
voiced my opinion in the city.
Why don't you just send your electronic and then I can make notes on it electronically and print my own thing.
Yes,
we are
going
to
send it to because we're basically an island.
I have a note that you're responsible
for
doing
that.
But we just
said we have a massive earthquake.
Well,
it's not a
quorum.
It's not a quorum.
It's
not a quorum.
We don't
even
have
to.
We
don't even have your own
water.
You said you would take care of yourself.
This is 2008.
Okay. Sure.
You know, we can bring in a generator. And I said, what do you do?
Thanks, Pete.
Tell us how there it is when all the other cities need it too?
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Reciprocal, at least when I went to some of those NIMS courses where we were preparing these things for emergencies, and we don't have a reciprocal agreement.
You're fine.
If we needed support with something.
I feel like they're like so short they like kind of right up here sometimes.
The ultra capri workout.
Yeah.
I know, I was like, I cannot put on regular clothes.
That's funny because before you got here, we were talking about
that. This is dressed up for me because I wear like yoga pants and stuff.